Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's September 23rd regular Othello City Council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon the city and upon the city council for wisdom as we make our decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call, and we have two council members who are absent. The first one is Eugene Bain, is on vacation, and the second one is Maria. She had a last-minute family emergency, so I'd entertain a motion to excuse both Councilwoman Maria Quesada and Councilman Eugene Bain.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. I know it's an exciting night for two young men who are about to join the police force, and we're going to get to that swearing-in ceremony in just a moment. But before that, item 1.5 is a citizen input. And tonight, is there any citizen here who would like to address the City Council? If so, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. You can step to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and you'll have up to 5 minutes. Is there anyone here who would like to address the City Council? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to the approval tonight of our agenda.
Make the motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And item 3 is the consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to our current business. And the first item, 4.1, is the swear-in of Officer Vargas, Officer Lopez. So I'd like to call forward Officer Rafael Vargas and Officer Fernando Lopez, please. You know how one is good and two is better? That's what we got going tonight. Congratulations. I just want to thank you for your perseverance to get to tonight. And I know it wasn't easy, but I do want to read, before I administer the oath of office, I want to read just a short biography of our two new officers. First, Officer Rafael Vargas. He was born and raised here in Othello. He graduated from Othello High School in 2010, and he graduated from Central Christian College in 2016 with a bachelor's degree in business. And he graduated from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy earlier this month on September 6th. And Officer Fernando Lopez, he was born in Othello, but raised in Royal City. He graduated from high school in Mount Vernon. He studied criminal justice at Skagit Valley College. He enlisted into the Army Reserves at the age of 18, and he deployed to Iraq and served a total of 8 years in service to our country. He worked as a corrections officer at both Monroe and Coyote Ridge. And on September 13th, he graduated from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy earlier this month. And so with that, I'd like to have you both raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Brian Lawrence.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution, and laws of the state of the United States. The Organic Act, And laws of the state of Washington. And that I will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of the office of the city of Othello, the Othello Police Department, according to the law, to the best of my ability. So help me God. Congratulations, gentlemen. So, I'm going to sign these oaths, making it official. But before I go any further, I'm going to have the police chief say a few words, and then I'm going to allow you guys the opportunity to say a few words as well. Okay?
I'm going to try to say a few words because my voice is mostly gone. I'll apologize for everybody that would not shake your hand as you're walking in. I have a cold and I don't want to share it. Both of these officers have completed the academy, which is, they say 770 hours. It's significantly more than that for the time that they put in while they were over there. We're proud that they're done. We're grateful they're back. The next thing that we're going to do is have their family members actually, or a family member, come and pin them. But I'd like to do that one at a time because of the photo op. Fernando, could you actually stand at the side? Rafael, could you just come up center? Who do we have that's going to pin you today? Very good. Little blood's okay.
Got his vest on, doesn't he?
Thank you. And Fernando, if you could get you to come up, please. And who do we have pinning you?
My brother.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You might actually take that look on the church.
I would like them to say a few words.
I know you're welcome. Do you have a few words to say?
Sir, Chief, I just want to thank you and OPD for giving me the opportunity to be a police officer. It's actually something that I've been thinking about doing for a while now. And I really like this town. I was born in this town, even though I wasn't raised there. Partially, when you grow up in Grand County, pretty much, you know. I remember coming here as a kid, and we just had to pay at CPU. You know, it was a long time ago. I'm actually older than you, you might think that. But, yeah, I remember coming here as a kid, and being at the grocery shop and that, but it was taken. It's something that we wanted to go out, but now I get to do it. Go see some fellow, and
serve the community best we can. So, and here's what we do. Thank you. I was born and raised here, you guys know. I'm very thankful for this opportunity to thank the Chief, Chief Shane, for giving me the opportunity to actually give this a shot, give it a try. And I'm thankful for the team that I'm a part of. Everybody is an asset to this. They have helped me out, they give me pointers, they show me things, and I've learned so much from them in the short period of time that I've been here from the time of my hire to my time of my return from the academy. The academy was a great experience, it taught me so much more. This is a whole new world to me, and I'm, little by little, I'm getting it, I'm learning it. I'm getting familiarized more with what is inside my own city. You know, sometimes you live so, I guess, in a way where you don't really get to a certain part of the city itself, like a certain lifestyle in it. And now I'm starting to see it, and I'm understanding and learning and seeing the fact that there's so much more that you need to do within the city. There's so much more that you have to take care of everybody who's out there, from the youngest to the oldest. And to be able to represent my own city after being born and raised here, that is a blessing to me. And it's a blessing to me. That is what I would consider myself, as that simple piece that I want to become for my city. So thank you all, everybody. Thank you, council. Thank you, mayor.
Mm-hmm. So, you're welcome. Thank you. I just want to welcome you with open arms, both of you, Fernando and Rafael, to the Othello Police Department. One of the things that I think I told you when I first met both of you was that the hope and the desire of this department is that it someday, if you stay with the department and you you know, serve your community well and you serve the department well, someday maybe you'll be the police chief of the city. And so that's what we're hoping to build, that type of a culture here in this department. And having young men who grew up in Othello and who have ties here to Othello can't make myself and on behalf of the council any prouder than we are at this moment. So we just want to thank you for persevering through the training, and we just want to welcome you to your new positions here at the city. They're positions of honor. And we will certainly watch your progress as you move forward in the police department. So thank you.
And now we're going to unoccupy the council room. We're going to go have some ice cream with all the family members. So okay. I'd like to invite y'all over to our side.
Thank you.
Can I get some ice cream?
How we should get this room feel like that normally?
What's that?
We should get this room feel like that normally. Which people give a shit what's going on here?
Maybe 10. You know? Just 10 people would be something.
Something. Yeah. Probably shut me up.
You remember those days, John, don't you?
What's that?
You remember those days, don't you? When you were a sheriff deputy?
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue. Item 4.2 is the award of the Standpipe Number 4 project, and we have with us our city engineer, Sean O'Brien. Sean?
Mayor, Council? Agenda item is we had a bid opening for a standpipe that's going to be our standpipe number 4 for water storage. The original plan was to do a 2.5 million gallon tank, and based off of the estimates, which were high, and then the fact that McCain and Booth was already committed to come to town, which that this tank was for kind of future expansion and all that, some of that's already been spoken for now. We kind of played around with the numbers and figured that we could probably get a 3.5 million gallon tank built and still stay within budget. And the fact that we'll have reduced a lot of the engineering costs based off the original plan. We went out with that for a bid, and you have the numbers before you, but the low bid had, base bid was just a little over $2.3 million. And for the base bid, and then with the option with the additive, is a little over $2.65 million. So I've brought this to you to allow you to make a decision if you want to go with just the base bid or go with the increased capacity, which should serve our needs for longer in the future. And if you have any questions, I can answer them.
So basically, to go from 2.5 to 3.5 million, it was about $297,000 more.
Correct.
Yeah. Which is cheap.
That is cheap.
So in the form of the motion, Kelly, there's a motion to approve an amount of 2.6 million. And basically you're asking for us to approve an 81-foot tank at 3.5 million, which would actually be 3.1 million.
I'm not sure you're getting
Or is it?
Burrell's estimate when we went out for grant money was going to be 3.5 million.
So for the larger tank, you're saying it's 2.6 million and that's it?
2.65.
That's it? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll make a motion
exactly,
to award this Campway bid for.
Second.
So we have the option to go with the base bid if the prices were higher than we expected.
I was looking at the bids earlier and I thought it went up higher than that, but okay. My mistake.
You're under the base bid for the engineer's estimate, so.
You're probably looking at the engineer's estimate. I had thrown in Burrell's original estimate.
I screwed up. No big deal. I make the motion that we approve the 2.652974.65.
To E. Bailey. Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Sean?
Now, will that include, Sean, painting it? The same?
Yes, that'll include painting it and.
The same as the one down below.
So the discussion was, I came to you several months ago and we were going to go with the red stripes with just Othello on it, and we're going to go with a coating that's a little glossier, which should hold its gloss for much longer than and not get the chalky, oxidized look longer.
And the one down south it's being slated for paint next year?
It is scheduled to be done by Suez this year, which we talked to him in the spring. I was hoping he would do it this past spring. He said they're going to do it this fall. I believe the discussions are they're going to do it next spring. So there needs to be some discussions with them on that's a whole separate issue. But we talked with Gary a little bit about it. And their contract ends in February. We have until mid-October, I believe, to cancel if we don't want to go on further with them. So when they're going to get that tank painted.
If their contract ends in February, we've already paid for that paint job, right?
We pay in November. So we make a payment in November for the
2019.
From March 1st through February 28th or something. It's not a calendar year contract.
But the contract ends this coming February.
It was a 6-year.
Year.
It started as a 6-year contract, and in that 6-year contract, the paint job was included.
Correct.
Is what Corey's saying.
Correct. It is supposed to be in this year's worth of contract.
So we don't have to.
They have not made our payment yet, and they have not done the big work. I don't know if they came last night, Barry, when they come and do the inspections on the other tanks.
Yeah, I believe so, and I have talked to them about it, and they are still kicking around. They had to check with their crew to see if they could actually do it this October, November.
So are they going to actually put together a proposal for another 6-year contract or a maintenance contract, or what are they going to do, Sean?
It is set up that if we do not cancel it, come a magical 90 days before the completion, or 90 days before the end of the year, annual contract, then it keeps on renewing. The dollar amount does drop down after this year because after this year, all the tanks will be painted, then it drops down to just maintenance. But we can do that maintenance ourselves and contract it out for much, just deal with it with a contractor directly for a much less price.
Okay, so we should probably set up a water committee meeting, water street sewer committee meeting to discuss where we're at with them, the ending of the contract, and what we're going to do moving forward. Don't you think?
Yeah, and as in my discussions with Sean about this, he feels like we're paying a premium to have this contract. And so this year, because this spring when the guy came to my office, I said, you guys got to get this done this year because that's in our contract. And they struggled. And they're still struggling. And I still question whether they're even going to get it done this fall because they'd almost have to start next week to even think about having temperatures in the range where they could paint it. So we're still going to hold their feet to the fire. They're going to paint it whether we renew the contract or not. My, in my conversations with Sean, I feel like we probably are not going to renew the contract. We are still going to hold them accountable. And we probably will, if we aren't going to pay the whole check, we will probably pay a portion. We'll make that decision when we talk about it in the committee, because they haven't performed the contract, and I don't want to pay them the full amount. Kelly, do you think?
So is this final
until they've actually done the work?
Is the final?
I need to take a look at the provisions of the contract, but generally, yeah. I mean, I agree that's a good way to go about it, but we just want to make sure. Yeah, I can take a look at the agreement and make sure that we go about it in a way, hold their feet to their fire as much as we can under the terms of the agreement without violating.
So the payment being made is the final payment in the 6-year contract?
Correct.
Okay, it's not for the renewal of a new contract?
No, it is.
All right, it's the final payment of the 6-year contract?
Yeah.
That we started before I even got on off. In
our first year here, that was when we started it. Mm-hmm. So, and this is the
but it was voted on by the council the year before.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
So we'll schedule a water sewer street committee either for next week or the following.
Great.
Okay. Well, we can talk about it during the budget too.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be getting together.
Schedule it sometime in there between the budget meetings, because I think I'm on every budget meeting there is.
You are. Okay, we'll move to item 4.3, which is a public hearing for the community Economic Revitalization Board grant. I'd like to open that public hearing at 6:51 p.m. The city is going to apply for a Community Economic Revitalization Board grant. It's basically a planning grant for the Othello Farmers Market District Food Makers Incubator. This is a continuation of the Farmers Market project. Council must pass a resolution authorizing the submission of an application to CURB. That's the acronym is CURB. We're applying for a $50,000 grant. There's a $12,000 500 city match, and the city plans to hire a consultant to help walk through the process of site acquisition, determining redevelopment costs, identify future business partners and a proper management structure, among other things. And so that's the staff's recommendation, of course, to the council is to approve the resolution. So I'd at this time ask the council, is there any questions? We've been through this farmers market quite a bit, and this is just a continuation, and this is a way we can use state money to help us fund the continued development of this project. Okay, with that, then I'll open up the public testimony portion. There's in three parts, those who want to speak in support, those who are neutral to this proposal, and those who are in opposition. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak in support of this resolution submitting an application to CURB to do a planning grant? Is there anyone who's neutral to this proposal? Is there anyone who wants to speak in opposition to this proposal? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public testimony portion and ask council if they need any additional information to authorize the mayor to sign this resolution. Okay, with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution 2019-22, authorizing the submission of a CURB grant application.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'll close the public hearing now at 6:54 p.m. Item 4.4 is a proclamation of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. The City of Othello is recognizing September as Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Whereas pediatric cancer is the leading cause of death by disease in children, and whereas in 1 in 285 children in the United States will be diagnosed by their 20th birthday with cancer, And whereas 80% of childhood cancer cases are diagnosed only after the disease is metastasized and spread to other areas of the body. And whereas 2/3 of childhood cancer patients will have long-lasting chronic conditions as a result of the treatments they go through. And whereas the National Cancer Institute recognized the unique research needs of childhood cancers and increased funding to conduct this research. And whereas in the last 20 years, only four new drugs have been developed specifically to treat children with cancer. Whereas researchers and healthcare professionals work diligently to dedicate their expertise to treat and cure cancer with or children with cancer. And whereas too many children are affected by this deadly disease, and more must be done to raise awareness and find a cure. Now therefore, I, Sean R. Logan, Mayor of Othello, do hereby proclaim September 2019 to be Childhood Cancer Awareness Month in the city of Othello, Washington. I encourage all Othello residents to learn more about childhood cancers and consider what we can all do to support children with cancer and their families. Signed this 23rd day of September, 2019, by Sean R. Logan, the mayor. Our next item on the agenda is 4.5, which is a farmer's market tailgating party. And with that, I would like to have our public works director, Terry, and our new park and rec coordinator, Randy Gomez, to step forward. And we'll have a discussion about a Seahawks tailgating party.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before I introduce the agenda memo here tonight on the tailgating party, I'd like to say a few words about the new Park and Rec coordinator, Randy Gomez, here. Randy's lived here in Othello, Washington, his entire life. He recently got married to, De Leon. He grew up and was very involved in community sports, Little League, Othello All-Star baseball team, great kid, football, and little guys baseball or basketball. Started his education at Luke Cogga Lyons Elementary and graduated from Othello High School in 2014. Was a student athlete in three sports in high school, football, baseball, and basketball. He graduated in 2014, then attended the University of Eastern Washington in the fall of 2014. His studies were in recreation management and tourism. Graduated from Eastern Washington in the spring of 2018 with a bachelor's in recreation management and tourism. Summer of 2018, he did his internship with the Public Works Department down here as a seasonal worker in the park. He did very, very well. The crew loved being around him. He worked very well out in the park. He listened to instructions. He got things done. He was very thorough about what he did. After his internship, he went to work for an agricultural business as a field manager for Simplot Grower Solutions in Othello, managing accounts for farmers and attending to their needs. Randy comes as a lifeguard for 2 years at the Othello Community Pool, has certification in aquatics facility operation valid for 5 years, and he speaks bilingual. So now I'd like to turn this over to Randy Gomez to present.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. On behalf of the Farm Market Tailgate Party, Sharon has requested on the day of October 3rd, 2019, from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. to 8:30 to broadcast the last Seahawks game against the LA Rams. North End Cable will provide the equipment and the projector to the big screen to broadcast the game. And she has requested the help of the city to block off South Third Avenue along with the alleyway, and also to set up 2 city bleachers to make the event more comfortable for the public. Thank you. Questions?
That sounds like a fun event. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Where are they going to set the monitor up at?
I believe they're going to set up on the west side of the Pioneer Park.
And is not going to be facing me.
It'd be like the drive-in theater.
Yes. Yeah, because it's going to be dark and cars going down Main Street. I don't know.
We'll just turn it up higher.
Why? Did they ever consider going to Lions Park instead of Pioneer Park?
No, that's probably something we can talk to Sharon about. Go to call her and mention it.
Well, it's kind of associated with the farmer's market.
Well, I understand that, but you're going to put a big monitor up out there right on Main Street, and people driving by Main Street are going to be watching the game instead of traffic.
It's probably like a projector. They're going to project onto a screen, so it's not going to be nearly as bright as like a monitor.
Yeah, it's going to be a big screen.
And what size is going to be more than that?
The size of it is not really not known.
They don't know what the size is. They at first, they didn't know whether they were going to be able to get the screen. It was up north. So it sounds to me like they've got something. I'm not sure exactly what that is. They're going to stream it. West side would be the screen piece, back this way, the features.
Well, yeah, they intended by more vendors, you know, food vendors and whatnot, because I think there are going to be a lot of people in the park. So
well, that's good. It's community, you know, community enjoyment. So need more of that.
I like Pioneer Park because it kind of gives it a little bit of like some set in here. So, you know, I kind of, for something like that, I kind of would enjoy seeing some instead of Lions Park where it's, I know what you mean. A lot more area and stuff over there, but kind of when I go by there on Thursdays and farmer market's going on, it kind of gives it a little good vibe, you know, with things up in the belt. So I like it.
So the to block off 3rd and 4th Avenues, they need they made an application for a parade permit because they already have permission through their facility use agreement to use the park for farmers market. So they need an application for a parade permit.
They're not blocking on 4th, just 3rd though, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me, just 3rd. I was wrong, but yes, I stand corrected, thank you. So, I don't know that we need a motion.
No, it's just informational.
Okay, all right, Randy.
All right,
yep, thank you.
Thank you. And welcome.
Nice to meet you guys all.
So we'll move to item four. Thank you, Randy. We'll move to item 4.6, the approval of the ordinance approving the assignment of a non-exclusive franchise. With us tonight, we have Jim Schuler, but I was trying to say, who are you with tonight? Are you with Wholesale Networks? Or are you with Knoll still?
It's in transition, so I'll say Knoll Communications.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Jim.
I'm the council members. So I'm the operations and outside plan manager for Knoll Communications, soon to become Wholesale Networks. Wholesale Networks is acquiring Knoll Communications in whole. The Knoll Communications non-exclusive contract agreement to Wholesale Networks. We need to have this done prior to the sale being authorized. So this is a consent for that to happen. When the sale finally takes place, we will notify the city, and that's when Wholesale will become liable for all of the franchise of Wholesale Communications.
Okay. Council, do you have any questions? It's pretty clear. Kelly, you had a chance to look at the transfer?
Yeah, I didn't have an opportunity to look at it before today, or at least the ordinance approving the franchise. I saw the agenda item and I reviewed the old ordinance, and then this was available when I got here. I think, you know, it looks, everything's in order. I think there's only a couple things I'd bring to council's attention. One is that in the recitals, it says that the city, being the grantor of the franchise, has reviewed the legal, technical, and financial qualifications of the assignee, which would be Wholesale, Wholesale Networks. I haven't been able to look at. I mean, I certainly haven't looked at the legal qualifications. I didn't know that this was occurring until I saw the agenda. So I don't think that. So the recitals. I mean, I know the intent of them, and I don't know if anybody else in the city has looked at the technical and financial qualifications of Wholesale Networks, but I can't represent to the council that I've reviewed the legal qualifications because I just just haven't had an opportunity to do so. So I wanted to bring that out. The other thing I would say is that in reviewing it, section 3 of this ordinance does contain a deviation of from the ordinance that granted the franchise to Knoll Communications. And I don't know that it's that it would be concerning to the city, and I'll describe what the change is, but I think the council should know before you vote on it. So section 3 of the new ordinance has a provision that wholesale networks could transfer the franchise or assign or transfer the franchise and its other assets without prior approval of the city to a parent company of wholesale networks or to a subsidiary of wholesale networks, provided the subsidiary is wholly controlled either directly or indirectly by wholesale networks or wholesale networks parent company. And I don't know, who their parent company is, even if they have a parent company. This could be standard language. But that does deviate from the franchise that the city granted to Knoll Communications, which requires consent, express consent from city council for any transfer. Mm-hmm. So that's a discrepancy there. So you would be effectively changing Knoll Communications franchise in that small respect. So those are my only comments on there or on this ordinance. I think that the transfer certainly is legal, mm-hmm. But I think those are two things that council should be aware of when you're deliberating on this. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions.
So council, that one provision that he's talking about, does that have concern that you want to make sure that in the event wholesale networks were to transfer its rights, franchise rights, either to a parent or to its own subsidiary, you want them to come back like they're doing now?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so we want to retain that original provision that was in the original agreement and strike that in the ordinance.
Yeah, and what I was, and I believe that this was, that the ordinance, the content was provided by either wholesale networks or Knoll Communications. Mm-hmm. So we didn't draft it, but I'm sure that the city clerk could probably get a word version from who provided it, and we can make that change. And so we'd strike out section 3 and renumber the sections.
Okay.
And we can make that change.
Striking section 3, could you amend it to say without approval of the council? Instead of striking the entire section?
Well, we'd have to say it says without approval of the council. It says without the need to obtain prior consent of grantor, and grantor is the city. So we'd have to change, we could change that to may hereafter, we could change it to say with prior consent to the grantor, but it would be redundant because we just want to, what I'm hearing city councils, they just want to abide by the terms of the original franchise. And so it's a little redundant. We try to avoid redundancies in contracts and franchises. But I mean, we could do that.
But I mean, does she do that? We need a word document.
It's the effect.
And
yeah. Either way, whether we strike it or change it, the legal effect will be the same. So, I mean, it's going to be, but I think what I would do, my suggestion to council would be to move to, if you want to approve the transfer, make a motion to approve the transfer subject to changing that resolution. And so, of course, it wouldn't be signed tonight.
Do we also need to make it subject to the review of the legal?
Yeah, you'd also want to make it subject to review of the legal qualifications of the assignee. And I don't know, I mean, it may be worth asking other staff if the technical and financial qualifications of the assignee have been reviewed. Because otherwise, if we're going to say in the recitals that we've done it, we want to make sure that it's been done. We don't want to mm-hmm. say in a recital, commit to saying we've done something that hasn't been done. So either strike it out, that recital out, or or just be comfortable that it's been done. One of two. And we can certainly work to do that expeditiously, because we don't want to hold up what Bill Communications is trying to do.
Okay.
But the original franchise agreements, there's nothing changing in that. All the same rules that Noel was had to abide by, the new one's going to have to abide by, right?
That is correct. Well, if we modify or remove
other
section
than,
three.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But that is the only section that really had the potential or did, in fact, would change the franchise agreement. But otherwise, you're just transferring all the rights and obligations from Noel Communications to Wholesale Networks. And they would be bound by all the same terms that are in the original franchise agreement granted to Noel.
Okay, so I'd entertain a motion to approve the franchise agreement subject to the either striking or rewording of the section 3 in the transfer ordinance, and with the city retaining the right to need prior approval from Wholesale Networks before they make any type of ownership or control changes.
And the review of the legal, technical, and financial qualifications.
Thank you. Anybody want to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Jim. Now we'll move to item 4.7 is Sagetone 8 Irrigation Agreement. And City Engineer Sean O'Brien wanted to, actually we don't need a motion, this is some information at the moment.
Yes, it's basically just information to bring you up to speed. With the irrigation system, the city participated in having the line installed through phase one of Sagetone 8 flat. That flat includes three phases, which is a total of 94 lots. And the first phase was much more expensive. We refined it, kind of streamlined it. And for phase, I guess the second phase of installing the irrigation system, which serves phase two and a lot of phase three, we got those costs down below $2,000 a lot. And we haven't been billed yet, but we sat down with the developer, and there was a lot of contention. It was never really hashed out exactly how it said that the city was going to pay for these improvements with their funds, with city funds, but it didn't specifically say that we were going to pursue with a reimbursement to recapture those funds. But talking with the Water Sewer Street Committee, the understanding was that we would go after the try to recoup those dollars. And so we sat down with the developer, talked out the scenario, kind of met in the middle with the lots in phase two and phase three. The developer's actually going to just hold on to those dollars, and upon platting or when we get the irrigation system ready to be used, he will hand over this $2,000 per lot if it reflects to the city directly. So it benefited us by not having to go after each individual lot for those last, I think it's 58 lots. The first 36 have already been built, and those we will, whatever dollar amount we approve, we'll then move forward with the next phase of notifying the property owners, holding a public hearing to establish that reimbursement / latecomers fee, and start pursuing with hopefully some of those irrigation dollars back. I guess if you have any questions, I can answer them to the best of my ability.
Council? Okay. All right. I guess I need direction from the council to have, I think that would, what we would consider, Kelly, would we not, an amendment to the developer's agreement
Yeah, so what I would suggest is that we would put together an addendum, sort of either modification. It really is not a modification so much as is an addendum clarifying a process. And I think I, in talking with getting details from you, emails from Sean, I think I have the necessary detail. I've already started putting together a document.
Yep.
And so we can get that done. Well, there's no reason we can't get that done this week. Certainly have it ready for the next council meeting. I guess the only thing that process we have to do is to, once we have a final form of the agreement that we want to run by Mr. Olson, because he'll need time to review it. We don't want to present something to the council unless we know he's going to agree on it. So we save time. So that would be the only potential delays why we couldn't do it for the next council meeting if we don't get feedback from Mr. Olson and I. But I can have a final form of the agreement done tomorrow. And so then city staff can work with Mr. Olson. And once we have his consent to the form of the agreement, then we can present it to council and have it done and proceed forward.
Yeah, we meet again 2 weeks from tonight. We'll see the staff and Kelly. We'll see if we can't get that ready to be present to the council for 2 weeks from tonight. So we're just, I'm just looking for a go ahead from the council to move forward.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Pursue the agreement as per the description.
Yep. Thank you, Sean. So now we'll move to item 4.8, which is the zoning update discussion. And we have our community development director, Ann Henning, here to lead us in that discussion. Okay, so I also want to open this up as well to Planning Commission Director Roger and actually anyone else who wants to comment as the council continues to deliberate these issues. So you're free to join the party here as we have some discussions, if you have some thoughts that you think would move forward the issues, okay? Let's start number one. Whether front yard landscaping for single family homes should be required before a certificate of occupancy or within 1 year of occupancy. And currently, we are within, we aren't even require it, do we?
We do require it. It's required within a year.
Within a year. And what is the penalty to someone who doesn't?
What
does the council want to see?
I
Well, from the date of occupancy, we should run, you know, a year. So it's pretty easy for the city to catch. So from that date, about a year, if you don't have your yard in by then, you start giving, sending notifications. But we've never had a penalty. That's why sometimes it never gets done, if we just sweep it into the bed. And I think if we start doing that, I think these yards start going in. At least a notification, you know, and I don't know what the fine would be. I don't know what council would want to do there, but.
Would you be opposed to requiring it before the CFO?
I would.
You would?
Why? Just say, like, the housing development's over there on Olympia. Why make the developer put in the front yard with sprinklers and all that? And then the person that buys the house, now they either need to leave it like that or dig up their sprinklers and put them in a different spot and.
Landscaping your.
I mean, go look at the houses up there and that, you know, everybody's got different landscaping.
See, the big argument that was against it, against putting them in right away, was the cost that it was going to defer to the homeowner. But Maria, at our last meeting, said that that's, it was only like a matter of $25.
$25? But to some people, that's a lot of money.
Well, sometimes 20 a month.
But if you can't afford that $25 to begin with, how are you going to afford to put in a lawn after you buy the house?
Yeah.
How are they going to afford $3,000?
$1,000 of my car payments, this much, my house payments, this much.
I know, but
I've only got this much for food. I can't budget another $25.
Right, I understand that, but you're going to have that money to put out one way or another.
Yeah.
And the problem is a year is not, they're just not getting done. You know, the majority of them are, but there's a lot that's not.
What do you want to do, John?
Well, the thing is, we've never enforced it.
Yep.
So we've never enforced it, so we don't know what, if we enforce it, it's going to happen.
How are you going to enforce it?
Well, there's the occupancy date.
So are they supposed to?
That's work for the city.
Are they supposed to check those occupancy dates every year?
Yeah.
How many hours a day do you go into work?
One time a year. That's it. See, my first house was closed last September, so we're going on a year. So they would have checked 29 by now. Big deal. So that first house is already landscaped. That means if that would have been landscaped today, they should have got a notification letter. And give them a month to do it. If they don't do it in a month, you fine them. If they don't do it in the second month, if we go in and put it in and we charge them.
Yeah. Oh, it's Kobayashi Maru. There's no win situation.
Okay, so let's do.
You're right.
Okay, that's, so yeah. Those who, okay, we've got to move forward here, and we have to make a decision on it. So
we have an ordinance today. Did. It's 1 year from occupancy.
Yeah.
And if we want to enforce that, then we have to do something about it.
Okay. So you want to just keep it to the 1 year?
Yeah.
Who wants to keep it to 1 year? Raise your hand. And who wants to make it as a condition of the CFO? No. You guys are in the minority on this one, so you have your direction.
How many are we going to push off on our...
I'm sorry?
How much of this stuff are we going to add to the workload of our one...
We can't be afraid of that. We can't be afraid of that. If we need more, we're going to have to hire somebody.
See, that's been the problem all the time. How much load are we going to add? But yet, all these enforcements are not being done.
No.
So are we going to let them all go, even with our second dwellings and everything that's going on, because we can't enforce it? That's pretty sad.
So if we need another code enforcement?
Let's hire another code enforcement then.
Well, we have to do that. We do it half time, part time, whatever we have to do. We want the city to.
Yeah, that's a budget issue. Let's move on. Number two, whether there are existing neighborhoods where additional housing could be allowed. Are you talking rezones? Okay, do you want to clarify that, Anne?
So there's a lot of discussion about, especially the proposals, what the planning commission recommended to rezone some R2 areas to R3. That seemed to be the most contentious area. So I think that was the one that really needed some more discussion.
Okay, so is that discussion going to be as a general nature here, or are we going to get the map out? I think it's beyond the scope of this meeting to get the map out and start identifying the areas of town. So this, let's just keep this in the general nature, and then in the next meeting in 2 weeks, we'll pull the map out, and then we'll start identifying. But for tonight, let's talk about this in a general sense. Is this a philosophy, or is this a policy that the council wants to set?
I'm not in favor of any rezoning anything from R2 to R3. I think it's what it would do to the people who live in that. It's completely unfair to them. I think for what the benefit you'll see out of it will far, the benefit, the disadvantages far outweighs the advantages. So you start, right now our streets can't handle any more traffic being parked on it. They just can't. Run down any street in town in these sections that they want to change to R3s. They're full. I understand it, they're saying, well, you got to have 2 spots for each place. Well, that's for each apartment. It's not enough. It's not. Go to apartments, run down the end of Rose and look at those apartments down there. And look at the streets parked on the cars parked on the streets. You're increasing your density. When you increase density, you increase crime, you raise crime rates. When you, and the fourplexes or more, and that's another thing about the way this is written, it's fourplexes or triplexes or whatever, unless they go to Ann and say, I want to build a duplex, and she has, per this ordinance, she has the authority to approve that sixplex or more. But you're declining property, lowering property values when you put apartments next to houses.
And so what would you be your solution then?
I'm not in favor of changing anything to an R3 from an R2.
I'm with Corey there. I was on your side the last night, but I feel the same way.
Okay. It just, you can't change the rules in the middle of the game.
I get what they're saying. I really wouldn't like apartments built right next to my house either. You know.
But I also understand the argument that, you know, that just because they're rezoned doesn't mean that they're going to change immediately. It may be, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And I get Corey's argument, but I also get the other argument. It's like, so where else do we allow for growth because we're running out of space?
Mm-hmm. So when you lived up on Olympia Street, you guys went to battle with the city about allowing them to build apartments up there. So
no, it wasn't apartments. It was a like a nursing home.
Okay.
It was a nursing home.
John, do you have an opinion?
I do agree with what Corey's saying, that there, I would not like to be in an R2. And be changed to an R3, and then all of a sudden have somebody build a fourplex next to me, literally come in and demolish the resident next door to me, and then build a fourplex because they got enough room to do so. It would detract from my, you know, single family home in so many different ways, and I don't have to go into that. But I do understand what he's saying. The question I wonder about is that there is R3s available in Othello right now, right? And how many single family dwellings exist in those R3 zones?
Single family.
So on this map, the R3 is the ground.
And I think that's where the argument that just because it's R3 doesn't mean that they're going to come in and demolish things and rebuild right
no,
away.
No, but if there's already a zone of R3 living, and that R3 living is actually a lot of single family dwellings, mm-hmm. that if there's going to be an opportunity to do something with, you know, then do it in that zone that's already determined.
Where are our R3 zones?
We don't have to create more of them yeah. to make that happen. They already exist.
So it's here and here. This is actually the R3 with us. What is this?
School.
Okay, so.
So the brown is R3.
The way it was written up in here, I'll have to find it. But the way it was written up in here, it was written up as fourplexes or something per approval. They could get, there was approval available. Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'd like to ask Roger the question here. When the Planning Commission was looking at this issue, if the Planning Commission, which a recommendation was to allow this, to allow changing R2s to R3s in certain areas, what did you want to, or what did you think the long-term effect of that would be? The immediate and the long-term. And then you can add any of your other comments too.
Okay. Partly what we're looking at is we need more of a balance of R3, R2, is overloaded right now into the R2. One of the reasons that we went for the areas that we're looking at when we drove down through them, we started seeing by the high school, across from the high school, there's apartments there already. How did that get into an R2? Somehow it slipped in there. So we looked at it and said, we're saying, well, it's already kind of going that way into an R3. And little apartments like I put up behind U.S. Bank on 4th and Pine. Do those lower the value of a property? Eric Morgan right beside me, when he heard we put apartments in there, he really grumbled. And I went and talked to him. I said, hey, look, we're going to go for it. I said, I'll try to be as decent as possible. And if there's any problems, I said, let me know. I said, I'll work with you. Since they've been up and running, I've talked to him numerous times. He's very happy with the way things are. He has no complaints.
Well, considering what was there before, I can't imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right
is
across.
Is it going to be a fast changeover? No. Because what's going to happen is nobody's going to go in and tear down a house and put apartments in unless the house has been condemned. The only condemned houses are in Othello right now. I think there's one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Okay. It don't pay to buy a lot with a house on for what it's going for now, $150,000, and tear the house down. That does not make any sense financially. You aren't going to have no investor going for that. They're going to sit and wait until something gets condemned, till a house burns down for some reason, and then that's when an investor will come in and look, is there an opportunity to do something, yes or no? So as far as apartments moving in these property values, talking with Brian Gentry on that, he said it's not going to affect the property values.
Brian sat right there on that table and said it does.
It
he
will,
said it in the middle of a meeting.
Okay, it will affect the property values by about $2,000 because the building itself still has its value. So when you take the lot and take the value of the lot versus being R2 to R3, that's where it affects it. It isn't a large amount. He said that the building is what the majority is of the property value.
So well, you can't really tell what the property value is going to do as far as the lots, because you might have apartments and have four apartments and have three families in each. Now that's going to affect my property value.
That will.
Big time. You're going to have a lot of cars there, and not going to look good. So now if you have one family in each unit, maybe it won't affect it as bad, like what you're saying.
But we have codes in place to try to hold all that back. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now I'm at 12th and Oak. It's an R2. I expect within the next 10 to 15 years that will turn into an R3. Just the way the neighbors around me are doing and what they're doing, I see it going that way. It's soon going to be an old part of town. And it's my decision then to stay there, enjoy it, or to move on, you know. But it's not, if the zoning would change, it wouldn't be an instant overnight thing. It'd be more like, well, let's play it out for 5 to 10 years and see what happens. Maybe it will be an advantage to me. Maybe I can add on to my property and make a rental or something, you know. It's not all bad. There's pros and cons each way you look at it.
So the effect, I mean, I certainly agree with the fact that, I mean, money drives financial decisions in real estate. And today, even if it was rezoned to an R3, nobody's going to buy a property next to Corey or anybody else for that matter and pay $150,000 or more for that house, tear it down and put up a triplex.
Yeah.
First of all, you also have setback requirements. You have, I mean, I don't even know if you would almost have to build two, you'd have to buy two in order to build any kind of a fourplex, maybe even a triplex. I don't even know if you could get away with a duplex unless you went up.
You can't get a fourplex on them. I had the same issues when I did the Hawks Nest. With two parking spots, setbacks, everything else, there was no extra room to do anything more. I was limited very much to what could happen. And that's all for our city codes.
Mm-hmm. And it was a corner lot, and yeah, you had more setback on the corner lot.
And it turned out fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have no regrets.
Well, in kind of support of Roger's argument, my house sits in an R4, and I don't see that neighborhood changing anytime soon because it's, you know.
But that was an R4 when you bought it.
We have
It was an R4 when you bought it, though.
We have areas of R4 and R3. And R4 and R3 are zoned for multiple family dwellings. And we may not have a lot of R3, but we have a significant amount of R4s, which are single family dwelling units at this time. And then we have that large section down on 7th and below the high school and McFarland and those areas that have large complexes. So if you add up the R3 and the R4 together, it is comparable to the R2s and R1s.
Very good.
So I don't know. I don't know how to.
I mean, we've been driving around town, down every street just to see what we thought and where things were headed. And you take down second and third, those streets down through there, they're little itty-bitty houses. They're not R1 houses. They're R3 houses, R4s. I mean, but you got to realize those houses were put in, 50, 60 years ago or more?
houses that are going in now, like the Little Angels building, I mean, there are four kinds of houses, what those were.
On smaller lots.
Okay. So what would you expect the effect would be if we say no, we're not going to change any R2s to R3s? Would that mean then that only new property being developed would be designated as our undeveloped property, vacant land would be the only
way you get into
an multi or triplex? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And if you say no, I think that's in your power to do it.
Yeah.
See, my concern too is with these lots in town, the ones that you want to change, like John just said, they're like 80, some are 80 by 150 to the center of the alley. There's a lot of room there to build second dwellings and add on to them. And it's going to start looking like labor camp, I won't say that again. So that's my concern. If that starts going on, then we're going to have a side of town that, you know, it's going to start looking, I mean, we want to improve our town and not, you know, bring a labor camp into town.
Another thing you look at is, from the city's point of view, is when housing gets condensed a little bit, it helps the city financially because you have all your utilities, you have everything, infrastructure there, you don't have to go out and put all of that in.
That's true. Yep. Okay. So I want to clarify then our process. Right now, I'm just going to look for vote to change or not change. And then if we decide tonight that we're going to vote to change, then when we come back in 2 weeks and we start looking at the map, that's when we're going to identify the places in town that whether we agree with them, and if we have to vote on places in town, that's what we're going to do. Okay?
So one more thing real quick. So from going from R2 to R3 on non-developed ground, that'd be pretty easy to do, right?
Yeah.
So we have, Spencer, can you put that map up again, please? There's that 20-acre piece, that little jagged corner there on 7th and Olympia. That's R2, right? That could be rezoned to R3. That's 20 acres right there. You can do a lot of housing out there for rentals.
So the way that was set up, they changed that to set up on the north side of Olympia. They changed it to the first row there will be an R2, and then everything back beyond that will be R3. And
the first
that.
Row to Olympia,
so
or 7?
The basically
Olympia.
The opposite
Olympia.
Side of Olympia, where there's nothing right now.
And
would be R2, and then everything behind that would be R3.
And that was the way that was done, that was set up absolutely perfect as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, you're keeping R2s for the people that's already on Olympia, and then everything beyond that is an R3.
To the north.
Right.
So if I can summarize, Corey, your main objection then is that I bought it as an R2,
yep,
and now you're going to change it to me in an R3, and I don't like that.
Yep.
Right. So tonight, I need to hear from the council whether you want. So the effect of voting to change zoning areas in existing areas of town is going to be that eventually, at some point, those areas of town, they will become either the demand for housing and or the pricing of the property will allow you to tear them down and build and rebuild, thereby revitalizing neighborhoods, as it were, in older areas of town. Or if you decide not to change, then what you're basically saying is most all of the areas that are going to become R3 are only going to become R3 on property that is newly developed and brought into the city. Correct? Anybody, do you guys have any objection with that conclusion? Yeah, pretty much. So that's what you have before you. So I need to know which direction you want to go. Change or not change? How many want to change?
Got to wait until everybody. it's here, but.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you ought to wait till it's here.
So do you want me to bring it back, number one, back up again when they come back? Because it was a 3-2 vote.
Well, we got already won, but anyway.
Right. Okay.
But I think on these issues, for, you know, they're pretty big issues that everybody ought to be present.
Well, that's why all of them are here, because.
So you're saying no rezoning whatsoever?
No. They're saying they want to wait until the other two city council members are present in 2 weeks. So if that's the case, I don't know whether it makes any sense to continue to discuss these, because
we may as well just
have to turn around and have another discussion. So with that, can we get, is that the direction you want to go?
Can we get some large zoning maps?
Be fair, have everybody here.
There's some pretty decent ones in the book.
Yeah.
They're good size.
Yeah, I mean a larger.
The area along Olympia was not shown correctly in the map, and then there was an additional discussion.
The reason I brought up that 20-acre piece is good, because I don't know if Roger said that we're running out of ground.
Thank you.
But there is ground to develop, you know, R3.
So those
70 acres.
Black circled?
The circled areas with the, so 70 acres up here.
So, and those little spots?
20 acres here, couple acres here, 6 here along Second.
And the, just those lots?
And then there's a few scattered lots.
Yeah. So those are undeveloped?
Those are the undeveloped ones. There's one more piece down on Cemetery right
yeah.
here. That's the only piece that's vacant that's
behind the school.
For
yeah. And behind the school, that's a tough one because you have a lot of underground drain pipes there. So it's going to be a very tough area to develop.
Yeah.
Unless we put a park there or something. I did a lot of research on that.
Well, that's one of those you're going to have to get the approval of the Bureau and all that fun
sure
stuff.
It's not yet,
yeah.
It's,
okay. Well, and it looks like the council prefers to wait till the rest of the council's here. So with that, I will move to item 5, which is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Hearing none, I'll move to new business. Is there any new business council wants to bring up?
So I got a call from a gentleman that lives west of the tracks.
Okay.
And I guess he's complained here in the city already that the light that runs north and south is on for 3 minutes. And Main Street light that goes west and east is only 30 seconds. So they're having to sit for 3 minutes for that light to change.
That light is horrible.
So
it's horrible.
And he said he's been in here a few times.
On Broadway and Main?
Which one?
Broadway and Main.
Broadway and Main?
Yeah.
They said the light is 3 minutes is way too long.
Yeah, I got an email.
Is it gotten off? Because it didn't used to be that way.
It's not, 3 minutes is an exaggeration, but it's really long.
Yeah, I can be all the way up by 4th Avenue and I can make the light down there if I can pass the one at first. You can make that light without it changing.
That light right there, if you're running on Broadway, I can see, you know, if you're going to go from green to a yellow, having that yellow kind of stick around a little bit longer because trucks have a harder time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my only change there. But at the same time, you know, limit the time. You know, give it a minute and a half. But that is needed. You don't want to go from green to yellow to red real quick because it takes, you know, if you're loaded with a semi, it takes that much longer to stop. So if you get that light, that yellow light a little longer, it'd be a lot better for the truckers.
Okay.
First and Main used to be really good where when you're going down, it would stay green unless somebody came up to the
side.
But now it's just coming on. and staying on longer than it has before also.
So something's gotten messed up in the programming?
Yeah, you're just sitting there for no reason.
So they just need to be checked and retimed?
All right, I know the police chief is looking into it, because I think police chief was the initiator of the change. So I'll have him give the council an update in 2 weeks.
I'm gonna get my deal out and go through it.
Your thing?
Yeah. Try to understand
better. Is there any other new business?
One thing I think is that we need to have an ordinance that if you're up against a industrial area,
there should be a buffer.
You could, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to build right up to that industrial area, you take it as it is. There should be an ordinance that says you can't make changes after that point in time. You know what I mean? It's like all the dairy farmers in Linden, you know, sold their land and developed it for people to live on. And next thing you know, they're getting rid of all the dairy farms because they don't like them in their backyard. But if we could create an ordinance that says, if you're going to choose to live in this area, it abuts an industrial zone. You accept it for what it is, and you're not going to be able to complain about it. I mean, because the noise, the lighting, and all that stuff is what it is.
I think that's why you set up those buffering type things where you can, like, you go from, you have a little bit of buffer from the residential to the industrial through commercial or through something else, or so that you don't have that situation.
Well, at some point in time, if they want to develop that corner and turn it into a, you know, make it into more of a Coventry style living, it is what it is. It sits right next to.
It does.
If you bought everything that comes with it.
I lived on one of those houses that Garrett built with Bob Villa, you know, way back out there on 4th Avenue. And I lived right on the corner. And I had to put blackout blinds on my bedroom because it was as light in my bedroom as it was daylight.
Yeah.
You couldn't sleep because it was like, and then you kept hearing the beep, beep, beep of all the backups on the forklifts and the railroads, trains coming in and dropping off shit. Yeah. You got accustomed to it, but I mean, you can't complain about it.
Tanya, you had something? Any other new business? Okay. Item 7, the council will also receive planning commission minutes. And then item 7.2 is department head reports. And Spencer wanted to just review the budget season here, schedule. Spencer, go ahead.
Wednesday and Friday.
Just to remind you really quick, we're starting our council budget committee meetings this week. We have on Wednesday and Friday, we have our first two. This Wednesday, so in 2 days, we have council members Lalo, Storo, and Everett for the general government. Then on Friday, for law enforcement, Wallace, Thunder, and Everett. And then coming on down. This week, we have two meetings. Next week, we have the next three. And then the last two are on the 8th.
I might not be able to make number 3 and number 4 there. I might be working out of town.
Next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't cover for you, Mark. I'm already on.
So, Angel, are you able to make the 1st and the 2nd of October, which is next Tuesday and Wednesday? Are you going to be here next Tuesday and Wednesday?
Wednesday and Thursday.
Was it yet PCK?
No, the third, the first is Tuesday.
I can do Thursday.
What do you want for lunch? What do you want for lunch?
So here's one of the first. I was wondering if we could move this meeting to the fourth. This meeting is on the Tuesday, the street.
What do you want?
Is it possible that we can move that one to the fourth?
It doesn't matter.
I don't want sandwiches.
Is that still?
Council.
I can make this one on the fourth.
Friday.
I think I'll be working in Moses Lake.
Be on the Friday.
On Friday?
Yeah, instead of the.
I can do a Friday if somebody needs out.
If we did it at night, would you be able to go, Mark?
Yeah, I'm good.
Could you go at night?
But I got an emergency job over in Moses Lake we're gonna be working on.
Yeah, that sewer line.
And that's what, Wednesday or Tuesday?
No, the.
The first, Tuesday. This one from the Tuesday to the Friday.
Well, John was asking if we could even do it at night, and I'm fine with that too.
Mark's okay. So you wanna do it on the?
I can make it.
Okay. So I'll leave this, same people, I'll just change the time on there if it.
Five would be fine.
For five, for that, fine, five?
That'd be good with me.
Okay.
Say that again. What's gonna be changed to five?
So here on the street and TV meeting, we'll just have it at 5:00.
Okay.
The first, is it a Tuesday?
Yes, it's a Tuesday.
I'll have to skip the gym.
And those are all just gonna be here, right?
Yeah.
5:00 PM?
5:00 PM.
Both of those?
Well, my Tuesday nights at 6:00.
We only provide lunch though, we don't provide dinner.
So we'll keep it on the Tuesday. We'll still move it to the Friday, move the date and the time? So it'll be Friday night at 5:00?
No.
Tuesday. Leave it on Tuesday at 5:00?
Yeah, Tuesday at 5:00.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Then tomorrow, I'll make that change and I'll send out an update.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
List to council members and to.
So we're doing both of those at 5:00.
We won't have iPads.
Wednesday? Okay, Tommy? And then what do you want on Friday, Corey?
I don't have a Friday.
This one? 27, this week?
Oh, okay.
So we're on the 25th and 27th?
I'm not gonna eat anyways.
You may include that.
It's a Subway.
Subway. Pizza and then Subway. 110. No surprise. Okay, that's all I got. I'll send it out.
Okay. All right, having no further business, I will close tonight's meeting at 7:59 PM.
So both of those on the same days at 5:00, right?
Hey, Spencer.
Both of those meetings.
Hey, I got a question. Hey, nobody's gonna have your iPads.
5:00, on the same day.
And then maybe I'll go over. What do you like?
All right, Spencer, did we just agree that we were moving?
The 10-1, no, the only one we moved was the 10-1, and we moved it from noon to 5:00.
Yeah, so the other one stayed at noon?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember. He'll give us a new update.
Okay.
Guys, remember to leave your.
I got a question for John. Hey, do you still want off that?
So Spencer, we changed the Tuesday one to 5:00, and the Wednesday one stays the same.
Yes.
Did you bring that stuff from the?
I don't have, no, which means there was probably nothing.
Okay, so just that one. All right, and what other days do I have?
I was gone.
Is this the first one they've had this year?
No, the second.
Second one in September, you know, just that whole year.
Got two new cops in town now?
I know, I'm just not even. Yeah, I just.
You wanna get on that solid waste?
Oh, I do.
Can you though?
Yeah, the only thing about it is when the contract with the garbage.